So, apologies for the summer break. Well, not apologies, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I haven't been making videos for that time, childcare and all that. But what a time it's been, eh? Queen, obviously. Boris Johnson, Liz Truss. I mean, it's all big events. But many commentators have said everything that there is to say about those things, really. So let's all pretend that that's already something I've talked about and move on to today, when the new Chancellor, the new government, I suppose, released its mini budget, one that they didn't want the Office of Budgetary Responsibility to have a look at before or comment on, with good reason, because it's mad. And one of the things they've done that not many people expected is to cut the income tax band that is applied on incomes over £150,000. That's gone now, so it just uses the lower rate. So that's money in the pockets of the very richest people. I mean, the very, very richest. £150,000 is well above the national average wage. What else have they done to help the rich? Oh yes, they've got rid of the cap on bankers' bonuses, which is obviously going to help the rich as well. I mean, all these tax cuts, you have to remember, are all aimed at the wealthiest. Even if they apply a 1% tax cut across the board, that's just a happy coincidence as far as the Tories are concerned. I don't think this Tory government, Truss and her pals, I don't think they actively hate the poor. I just think they really don't consider them at all. They're not part of what they think about. Think about the rich. And if things they can do to help the rich happen to help the poor, then hooray, they're all in favour of it. If things they can think of to help the rich have an adverse effect on the poor, equally, they don't really care. I mean, it's not quite so good for election messaging, but they don't really care about it. And we can see this in pretty much everything they do. Cutting the highest income, like, nobody earning £150,000 is particularly feeling the pinch of the current mad economic crisis. In the context of this, of course, we have to remember massively spiralling prices on things like food and energy, and people are really feeling the pinch, not just the poorest, but people on sort of middle incomes. None of these people are being helped by these tax cuts on the very richest. And yet that money that that tax brings in, it's going to have to be found from somewhere. Now, it's either going to be found from additional taxes on people with less money, or it's going to be found in cuts to services. Now, bear in mind that services are very much struggling as it is. And instead of putting the proper money into them or getting rid of pointless profiteering from them, the government comes up with mad schemes, like you might have heard of this scheme to allow people to be qualified to be doctors without going to university. But do you want a doctor who hasn't really been educated in medicine to treat you? They'd rather do that than fund places at medical school, or maybe scrap fees for things which are in demand, like medicine. No, easier just to let people become doctors without really any education. Then we've got the energy crisis and the madness around that, where effectively the public is now going to subsidise the profits of energy companies with enormous taxpayer funded loans that we all have to pay back, and vast costs, billions and billions. And then people say, well, what can you do? You can do what other European countries have done: renationalise a lot of these energy companies, apply windfall taxes. And then you've got people like Rees-Mogg, who doesn't really understand science or people or emotion or anything like that. You've got him sort of bidding up fracking in North Sea oil, when even the fracking companies themselves are saying it won't do anything to help the energy crisis. And even if you could get fracking going in time, which there's absolutely no evidence you can do, then that energy goes onto the international markets anyway. It's not going to reduce prices. I mean, it might make a very, very small dent in them, but it's not going to affect you and me. And then the very obvious everyday things we can do to help us in this energy crisis, like a massive immediate rollout of insulating homes. We've got some of the worst insulated homes in Europe or the world, and the government's doing nothing. We're at ground zero now, but years ago it should have been insulating homes, installing solar PV on every new building as a requirement. So what's their solution now? Now, as we get further and further down the road to where energy is based on fossil fuels and unaffordable, what do they do? Oh, well, we'll get more fossil fuels out. Even if, and let's be generous, even if that worked, and it won't, but even if it did work to reduce the bills we all pay, it's just kicking the can down the road, obviously, because ignoring what we have to do when it comes to net zero, ignoring that, fossil fuels are going to run out at some point and get more and more expensive to extract. The only way to keep energy bills down is to build out renewables. And yet, onshore wind is effectively banned. Solar PV isn't being rolled out at any great rate. There's no requirement on people to do it. Just where I live, I've just built a new doctor's surgery. I don't want to pick on the doctors because it's just, there's many buildings being built, but it's just near my house and it's an example. It's got a brilliant south-facing roof, very flat, no solar on it. Would have been, I know, 10 kilowatt generation, maybe 20 up there if they'd put some solar panels on. It's mad that these things are allowed to be built. And it's mad not just for the country, but it's mad for people who build these things because the return is so great on solar now because of energy prices. But it's just the short-term thinking in this country, under this government especially, but generally, is all about short-term thinking. And that's why we're in the mess we are in today. We need to start thinking about the long-term. And the long-term starts now. The long-term says, spend these billions on insulating homes. Spend these billions on rolling out renewables immediately. Spend these billions on harnessing tidal power, which is something we haven't done, on energy storage. Don't spend it on subsidising profits for energy companies which are making more profit than they ever have. Just as an example, Norway is a large producer of gas. Now, they're profiting very well from this current surge in gas prices. But what Norway did is to make sure that their main gas companies are state-owned. And all the profits from their gas have gone into a fund to help the population. So every time gas prices go up, it helps the people in Norway. What did our country do? We had a similar situation in the North Sea. Well, our government at the time, Margaret Thatcher's government, and governments since and before, I guess, have used that money to fund tax cuts. Short-term election winners. So the Norwegians sitting pretty on a huge sovereign wealth fund. And we, who could have had exactly the same thing, people queuing up for food banks and freezing in their own homes. Well, we'll do this winter. It's just short-termism. That's the country's problem. And that goes hand in hand with social justice, thinking the long-term, I should say, because that is part of social justice and environmentalism. Got to think of this long-term. You've always got to. And people do. People have pensions. But they seem to disassociate politics from long-term thinking. It's all about who's going to cut my taxes this year. So we've got to stop thinking like that. We've got to stop electing people who were chosen by a very small number of other people, of course, Tory members, on promises of tax cuts. Tax cuts which all economists have pretty much laughed at as unfunded. And now we're seeing the effect. And I just hope that they're out before any real long-term damage is done.